Your mask protects me, and my mask grants me superhuman abilities.
It's just pain, darling. All he's doing is killing the pain so that he can function at his maniacal level.
Well, not in the comics. In the comics, it's actually pumping him full of some kind of adrenalizer that makes him stronger than Batman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, for context, folks, just in case you're just joining us, there's a whole joke running about Bane and the ridiculousness of Bane in the last Christopher Nolan movie, which was disappointing, to say the least. But we've clung to Bane and how magnificent he was, and the jokes of that, and what it's matriculated into is, here we are in a pandemic, and what does Bane think about it?
Well, now everyone has to wear a mask. Welcome to the party.
That's just okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, at this point in time, what are you going to do, you know? I mean,
it's what it is. I mean, pull my finger.
What happens when I pull your finger? Oh, you farted again. Should have seen that one coming.
Did that one last Tuesday?
I think there's something about just Bane on his own, even without a pandemic. There's something about honing in on that.
There is something about a skit with Bane.
Yeah,
you know, like Bane as the manager in the office.
Yeah.
We've been needing some overtime from you, Mark.
Too bad you have to work Saturday, Todd. But you do.
John, I hear you're going hang gliding.
Would be great just to work him in as a character in a sitcom.
Not anymore.
Well, yes.
I'll buy you a ticket for 50 cents on the dollar.
Some people say it's painkilling gas injected into my mask. Some people say it gives me powers. I'd say to you, Marjorie, what does it really matter? You're the one that's getting the performance review.
I call it silly gas.
That's great. Hey, I got slaughtered to pieces on the market again today. That was a depressing... It's funny how when things are all jazzed up, you're like, I find myself sprightly logging in and, ooh, look at how smart I am. And then days like today, I'm looking at it, I'm like, I'm dumb. I must have clumped a bunch of dumb shit together. But it's long game.
I made my account go green.
What'd you sell all your shit?
No, I just bought more.
There you go.
I put more in.
Oh, also...
Your account balance is not just... it's your initial deposit plus your...
I understand.
Investment returns plus additional deposits. So
yeah, there it sits.
Instead of taking a 2-point loss, I took a 1-point gain.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, and you should,
baby.
You can buy the dips. Fuck it. Yeah.
Old heads.
Justin's dad, I got a text from Justin today. His dad says, buy more Apple. He says, he's got a long, I guess pretty damn long position with Apple, and he's like, just keep buying it.
It was in a good spot to buy today. I'm not buying anymore for specific reasons, but it's in a great spot to buy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, tech's going to come back big time.
Apple will be fine.
Apple's going to be one of those things that people upgrade on when they get stimulus money. They're going to go for the upgrade.
I'm not buying it, but I'm not saying not to buy it. I'm just saying I can't buy it because
I understand
so much of it, and I'm not playing that game.
Wow, it's the biggest position. It's my biggest position. So
mine too. Yeah, so it's not happening.
Yeah,
I spent all day buying incremental shares in Boeing, Disney, Bank of America, Bank of New York Mellon.
Love Bank America. Love BAC. Love BAC.
buying, you know, over the whole course of the day, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, improving my position, watching it go down, improving, 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 mm-hmm. watching it go back up, still improving. You know, I put about, probably increased my position by, I'll say 6% in stocks I already held at much lower prices. So I'm happy.
Yeah.
You got to buy into a dip. You got to buy
absolutely.
Into it.
You can't look at it with a fatalistic mentality. You got to understand that all things will rise.
Yeah. Looking really hard at Palantir right now. Palantir is getting really low, and that is one I really, if that gets close to $20, we got to jump on it.
Mm.
But it's only at like 25 right now. But
right.
If it goes down to like 20, we got to pile in.
Yeah, that's definitely a popular stock
with the meme crowd.
Yeah, with the meme crowd. Yep. But I mean, I think that if you're fair about what they actually do, I think that you have to be bullish.
Right. And like I've said 1,000 times, there's good companies and then good stocks. And when Palantir was at $38, it was not a good stock. Still a good company.
Yeah.
Same company it is right now at $25.
Sure.
But it wasn't a good stock. And at $25, it's an okay stock. But at $20, oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
We got to get on it.
Software solutions, software, hardware, even at this point. I mean, it's the way of the future, and you're talking about legal intelligence, and you're talking about government shit. Like, we've got to shore ourselves up. I mean, it's been demonstrated that everything is hunted. Information is being hunted. So if somebody can prove that, if a company can prove that they can rightfully protect information digitally, whoo, that's a game changer.
Wow. A lot of companies are trying to prove that, and one of them will win maybe, but, and I'd like to be in that company too, yeah, whoever that is.
You're the one that wins.
But Palantir actually has no peers. There's nobody that does what Palantir does. There's nobody that does it. They're the opposite. They're not protecting your information. They're allowing you to go out and steal everybody else's information or aggregate it or do whatever. But there's no other company that I know of that is, it's like a Palantir. They're like an up-and-coming Palantir. There's no up-and-coming Palantir. There's none. It's just Palantir. They're the only player in this space, which is the cutting edge of essentially software for the CIA, essentially, basically. They're it.
Well, pay him. Pay the man.
Yeah, you talk about beating your competitors. They don't have any.
Yeah. Yet, but that's the time to cash. Thing is that, like, what's the driving factor of sending it up? I mean, it obviously is sitting where it is. That's the thing that's interesting about it, is that it kind of dovetails into what you were talking about, where, like, it's not so much about the stock, it's about what's happening in the macro. Like, say a little bit more about that.
Well, the macro of Palantir is fantastic. I mean, they are singular. They're a singular company. They've been doing it, and they're not new. They just went public, but they were private for, I don't know, 17 years. Their CEO founder is a mad scientist. He looks like
Christopher Reed. Christopher whatever. The
Back to the Future.
Doc Brown.
Yeah, he looks like Doc Brown. Yeah, nice way to finish my thought. Perfect. And you know, there's all these rumors came out of the company for years. Like, okay, it's Lobster Friday. Filet mignon Thursday, everybody gets a filet mignon, you know. We're losing $1 billion a year, and the investors are still giving us money. And the reason they were that cocky is because they know what they have.
They have the nut flush. They have the nut flush.
They know they have it. Exactly. They know they have it. And there's no stopping this thing. You could have bought it at 38 and still been fine, but I'm not buying it there. I'm not buying it at 25, but I might buy it at 24 or 23. But if it can get to 20 or 19, dear God.
Well, that's buy and leave. I mean, there's a lot of my positions are buy and leave. Like I keep watching Apple drop, and I'm like, I do not care.
No,
I'm just gonna add to that.
Yeah.
Same thing with Alibaba. I don't have any problem with that. Microsoft has been sporadic, but same thing there. Like they offer something fantastic to the workforce.
I was buying Microsoft all day today. Microsoft, Disney, Bank of America.
Yep.
Bank of New York Mellon and Boeing.
Yep.
Those are the five stocks I was buying literally all day. Like
love Bank of America. It's 4% of my position.
Yeah.
My portfolio is 4% of that is Bank of America.
The only thing you can do on days like this to make yourself feel better is buy.
I don't even need to feel better.
Well,
I don't even.
And you'll also feel better. It's actually a 2-for-1 because you'll feel better today. And then you'll feel a lot better a year from
when
now.
Everything kicks up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Which it does.
You know.
All boats rise.
I mean, Disney, I bought Disney near the high. It went up, it went down. Now it dropped, you know, in the last few days, it dropped probably 3%. Well, I got a whole bunch of it 3% down. Now I know it's going back to where I bought it at. I felt fine about it where I bought it at. It's just getting back to equal. I'm going to make money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then when it goes up, as I expect it to do, I'm going to make more money.
Well, that's a beautiful thing.
Buy the dips, baby. Buy the dips.
I can tell you this. I just saw it for the first time on television, but Carson Wentz looks damn good with a horseshoe behind him.
He's back with Frank Reich.
Hey, best of luck, pal. Best of luck.
Listen, that's a great trade for the Colts.
Great trade.
For the Colts.
Oh, I think it's a great trade for both
I don't
teams.
No, I think it's a terrible trade for the Eagles.
You wanted to keep Wentz?
No, but I don't think it's a good trade.
Well, I think your beef is with the ridiculous contract they signed him to.
The dead money.
Yeah. Well, that's why you don't do that. If you have any doubt, like, that's an all-in contract. That means that you don't draft Jalen Hurts.
Right.
It means that you don't play Jalen Hurts.
And who drafted Jalen Hurts? Howie Roseman, right?
Yeah.
And Howie and Jeff or Lori are...
It's a blunder.
It was
a blunder.
So at you know, we put a lot of blame on Doug Peterson, but what did these guys do?
It was a blunder. It was bad. But I also say this: a real franchise quarterback, and maybe Carson Wentz is a real franchise quarterback, and he can prove that now. But a real franchise quarterback doesn't lose their job there. They don't give in to that. It's not like Aaron Rodgers lost his fucking job when Jordan Love was drafted.
I know, but we got him at the top of the draft.
It was weird. It was weird.
And
it was a second rounder.
What was the second?
You're talking about Carson.
Carson.
Carson was the number two pick.
They got him right at the top.
I'm saying, but Jalen Hurts, they traded up into the second round again.
Right, right. But Carson, we traded
up to two.
Yeah, we were almost. He was almost the number one pick in the. Goff went first, right?
Correct.
Yeah, which was also another blunder.
I think everybody got all whooped up on. I think it happens every year.
Yeah,
everybody has.
But,
you know, frenzied about the number one quarterback. I mean, obviously, I think Trevor Lawrence is different. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a better quarterback You don't?
No, I don't think he's going to be that good.
I think he'll be better than Carson Wentz.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
We should come back to that.
I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue that. I was thinking more along the lines of...
I think he'll be better than Jared Goff.
Yeah. Very possibly. Very possibly.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, he could definitely be on the upper end of mediocre.
I love the way there's a science to it, but just like science, I mean, it's indefinite. Like Tom Brady was 199. Yeah. you know, Drew Brees wasn't necessarily he's too short, he's a system guy. It's factoring for the evolution of the craft that does it. I mean, and Brady and Manning, I mean, those guys became the cerebral, like they became the coach on the field.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it did, the paradigm did shift. And frankly, I mean, it is a pretty elite category there, where it's like there aren't a lot of guys that can actually do what those guys do.
How many coaches in the NFL have the ability to draft who they want? How many coaches in the NFL are also GM?
They don't get to buy the groceries.
How many coaches are GM?
My guess would be less than 10%.
I believe Andy Reid is.
I think it's like probably 5 to 7% would be my
Bill
guess.
Bill Belichick is.
Yeah.
Now.
So you got all these coaches cooking dinner and getting judged on it, but they don't get to buy the groceries. Right. Bill Parcells.
Bill Belichick drafted Tom Brady.
He did. After he passed on.
I think he did. I don't know if that's true, but I think he was the drafting guy then, as now.
Well, I mean, he was the coach.
Well, but the coach has an input, but
he wasn't the GM. He wasn't the GM at the time.
No, but how many guys in the NFL? The reason I'm bringing this up is because Andy Reid has a situation in Kansas City where
times.
Andy Reid chooses exactly who they draft. He has the last word on it.
Yes, correct.
And because of that, he has Patrick Mahomes, and he has Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he has Tyreek Hill. You know, he has guys that are steals in the draft. That his if he was just a coach, his GM would never have been brilliant enough to pick at where they were.
Right. Agreed.
So
where are you going with that?
Well, I'm just saying that the Eagles don't have that. They have Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie and whoever the coaches at the time with a little bit of input deciding who to pick. And then Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie give Carson Wentz a huge contract. And then the coach has to go win with him. And he can't because the guy has the yips.
Yeah, something got lost. I mean, he looked solid last year leading them to the playoffs, but he just lost something. I think the injury is a big part of it. I don't think he can. Ever since that he lost that, he was uber athletic. He would shake hits and run out of the pocket, do crazy shit. I think it may be a combination too of the injury and maybe the mindset that impacted it, because he's not the same player. I mean, it's undeniable.
It's also undeniable that Doug Peterson isn't the same coach as Frank Reich left.
Well, Frank Reich, I think, was the catalyst. I think Frank Reich was the guy that made that whole train choo-choo.
Frank Reich and Jim Wirtz.
Well, and that's weird too, you know. Like, just like a retirement or like a sabbatical out of nowhere. That's odd.
Yeah.
What else is going on? You said Jim Morris, by the way. It's Jim Schwartz.
I said Jim Wirtz. Yeah, and I meant Schwartz, but.
It was like
Somebody punched your dog in the face? That's not good.
I
don't
know. It's a dog.
Listen, I don't want you guys
to... Wow. Apparently a Nerf war went wrong.
Ah, dog got shot.
Wow, dog got shot.
It's like foam Old Yeller. It's like when we had to take Old Yeller out back and shoot him with a Nerf gun. It happens. What are you going to do, you know? Sometimes things get out of hand.
Sometimes you're playing around, you're fooling around, and a dog gets shot.
That's right, in the face.
Well, hopefully.
What are you going to do?
In the brain. Hopefully. It didn't feel a thing. Died doing what he loved.
Ah, chasing, skirting Nerf shots.
Wow. From the kids. He was probably, like, sniffing a rabbit trail at the time. Look on the bright side.
That's funny. It's an astute observation. Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Work, wow. Work week. It's a work week is long, lots of activity. Be glad when it's over. Looking forward to greener pastures. Give me a Kevin Spacey. Let me hear your best Kevin Spacey.
Ooh.
Or Harvey Keitel.
I think Harvey Keitel's easier.
All right, then give me your cartoon. Best Keitel.
Look, you're not getting in here. This is a private club, you understand? It's a private club. It's what it is. Hey, we'll clean it up. I'll send you the bill.
That's tough. I put you on the spot there.
I don't think I'm bad. I think Harvey Keitel talks not... like that. He talks really fast. With a kind of mumbles his words.
Yeah, he does a little bit.
What are you saying? I screwed it up? I didn't do good?
It was decent. So let me shift gears. There was a GOAT, I guess, like NFL something com came out with a GOAT list, including all sports, and had Tom Brady at the top. So I think that we should come up with maybe each of our top four GOATs on the spot. Give you some time to kind of digest that. The one thing that was interesting was that Tiger Woods popped up on a couple lists, and he's not even the first guy in that sport that I would go to.
I think he's somebody you would think about, but I don't think he could.
To think about, sure.
But so, not get there.
Yeah. And there was an interesting back and forth about, so Babe Ruth was on one, and the take was pretty interesting about Babe Ruth, too. And I hadn't given consideration to it, but I can appreciate it when it was verbalized, which is so Max Kellerman on First Take had thrown Babe Ruth out there, and Stephen A. Smith's like, he didn't even play against the best players in his
era.
I
don't care.
Well, and that's what Max said. Max said he also said that it didn't matter because he was the best pitcher and the best hitter.
Didn't Babe Ruth hit 50 home runs in a year when the number two guy hit like 9?
He did things that were peerless. He was completely peerless. So all right. So you want me to go first, or would you like to go first with your four GOATs?
Go ahead.
All right. So at the top of my list, it's still Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's like a, if you think about him as a prize fighter in championship fights, he's 6-0 with 6 knockouts. The only athlete I've ever personally watched where it was a stone cold lead pipe lock that he was going to win the chip, that he was going to make the shot, that he was going to do what it had to do. So Jordan's one. Two for me, I mean, I'm staying contemporary. It's Brady. I think Tom Brady's two. Seven championships. I mean, holy shit. Montana, wow. I mean, Montana kind of fits the Jordan bill where he's 4 for 4, but Brady adds 3 to that, and all the other shit, and all the passing numbers, just the way he takes care of his body, it's fantastic. I mean, he's a great, great talent. Number 3, Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus is the greatest golfer that ever played. It's not even a debate, really. If people want to hit me up and we can talk about it. I mean, he's got the most majors. He finished 2nd in 19 majors. He finished 3rd in 30 majors. And he's just, I mean, it's just wow. Absolutely just wow. Number 4 in the final. And this is a developing, I guess it's not really. It's pretty cut and dried. This is tough, but I got to go with Wayne Gretzky. I know that the chips aren't there, but his level of play in relation to everyone else around him, got to go with the great one. Special considerations toward Jerry Rice. Gave consideration to putting Jerry Rice up there just because of what he's done. But there's my 4.
Well, your number 4 was your number 1. I mean, Wayne Gretzky is absolutely the number 1 of all time. Period. Point blank. There's nobody close. He is not only the best hockey player of all time, he's so much better than the second best guy. It's not even funny. It's nowhere close. Nowhere close. Wayne Gretzky is number 1 GOAT. Period. It's just, I don't know how you can argue against it. There's just nobody that's been better at their sport than him. It's phenomenal. So, number 2, I'd say Wilt Chamberlain. Again, no one will ever do again what he did. It's done. It's over with. Boom. Number 3, Jack Nicklaus. Nobody will ever do again what he did. It's over. Number 4, I don't know where you go with number 4. Number 4 is tough. I mean, you could throw Jordan in there just because he's Jordan. You could throw Tom Brady in there. You could throw a lot of guys in there. But Gretzky, Chamberlain, Nicklaus, those are the 3 that are just... You've never seen anything like him before, and you never will again. It's over.
You got 3 players in your top 4?
I said you could throw Jordan into the number 4 slot. I mean, you could throw Brady in there, but there's nobody that competes with those 3. It's Gretzky, Wilt, and Jack. You know, Wayne, Wilt, and Jack. That's it.
Interesting. That's good take. That's good. Good back and forth too, because it's so, I mean, anybody's opinion on this, I mean, there's you talk to a bunch of young kids and they'll be like LeBron and
Babe Ruth. I should say also again, Babe Ruth, you could say nobody will ever do again what he did, but Hank Aaron did, and then, you know, Big Head Barry Bonds did, but Babe was something different because he was hitting 50 home runs when they were hitting 9.
He was also the best pitcher. He was also the best pitcher in the league, and he got traded, and they turned him into a hitter. It's weird. It's just, it's so weird. That whole thing's weird. The Babe Ruth paradigm.
Who has the second most majors during the years that Nicklaus played?
So Gary Player's up there. I think Gary Player's got like 7. Tom Watson, I believe, is the answer, though. I think he's
somebody
got 8.
Has double digits other than Jack and Tiger.
Oh yeah, yeah. Walter Hagen has 11.
Okay, so that's before Jack. But doesn't right, Player you're Watson saying, like, or one of those guys have 10? Or not even?
No, I think Walter Hagen's 11 is third. I think it goes Nicholas 18, Tiger 15, Hagen 11. And then you got like Gary Player's got like 8 or 9, and Tom Watson totally has 8. I know that. Tom Watson has 8. So if you look at here, let me look it up. Let me just make sure that it's official. Hold on. Okay. Okay, so yeah, I was pretty close. Nicholas, 18. Woods, 15. Walter Hagen, 11. Ben Hogan, 9. Gary Player, 9. And Tom Watson, 8. And then if you round out with a couple of guys, Bobby Jones, 7. Arnold Palmer, 7. He's got 7. So Nicholas competed against the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th all-time
major winners. Yeah, that's why they don't have more majors.
Right, but it's also why it's all right. The more impressive. Like, if you look at Tiger's, Tiger's got Phil on that list. Phil's got 5. That's the only guy on the list that Tiger played against. So Jack chased down a giant. I mean, an absolute fucking legend in Arnold Palmer. And actually dealt with, you know, his own white, fat, blonde, white.
And he tripled Arnold.
Element of that. Yeah, they tripled him up.
Didn't just beat him.
But then he dealt with these up-and-comers. Yeah. Then he dealt with, you know, all comers, and Lee Trevino among them, and Seve, by the way. Let me mention Seve. So Trevino had 6, and Seve had 5, and he had to deal with both
Trevino
of them.
Trevino had 6. That's
yeah, Trevino had 6. Said that.
Where did he get him at the Masters? Yep. Yeah.
Trevino? No, he was more. I think he has 1 British, and I think he was like a PGA. More of like a PGA US Open kind of bro. He was the best shit talker in the game, apparently, because he never talked bad shit. He could just always back up his own shit. When he'd be like, I'm going to rope this son of a bitch over that bunker. And then he'd do it. Apparently, Lee Trevino is the best shit talker.
Lee Trevino is like 100% Mexican and nobody knew it growing up because we were kind of racist back then. And nobody knew that Lee Trevino was Mexican. We were like, hey, he's probably from Omaha. You know, he probably drives a Buick. Hits a hell of a chip shot.
Yeah, it's a
good
point.
When you were in golf back then, you had to do this whole thing. Like, nobody's going to root for a Mexican guy.
In America.
Well, on the PGA Tour. That watch the PGA Tour, they weren't watching it in the Himalayas or in Mexico City.
The thing that's interesting about that is if you look at another player, like, take Seve. I mean, Seve came from this small town in Spain.
That's different.
Poor.
We don't mind Spain.
Right,
Spain's
I get
fine.
That. I'm just saying. Yeah, but that's. I'm not talking about it from an American. I'm not talking about it from an, like an American
shitty,
context. I'm saying. Well, it. Yeah, I mean, it's that ugly American nonsense. But I love the story of Seve. And he used to take bags of balls down to the beach, and he became the best bunker player in the world, possibly ever, by just fucking hitting the 7 golf balls that he had over and over again on the beach.
So that was by accident. He was hitting them on the beach just because that's where he could go to hit them.
Well,
and then he learned.
He snuck on the golf
course.
He learned
how to be great in sand because he spent a lot of time.
He definitely spent a lot of time on the beach
training on sand.
Yes. So he it was never
when he got in the sand.
He
said, "Oh,
he actually
this ain't no big deal."
Well, he would actually, I think that from a strategic standpoint, he actually, so the way, the place that the game was in at that point, the bunkers were set up as this large penalty. Well, they were, at the time, it was like this big penalty. It's like, it's where you want to be, but you're buried behind this lip and you shouldn't have, it's almost like, shame on you. You shouldn't have done that. You should avoid it. Well, he didn't have that mindset. It was like, well, I'm gonna fucking hit it right at the hole, and if it keeps on drawing, it'll end up in that bunker. And he was like, yeah, and I hope exactly. so. That's what I'm I saying. Hope it ends up in it's, that bunker. Yeah. But he turned what was a negative into a positive. Exactly.
Inadvertently, just by growing up in an area where the only place he could hit balls was on the sand, so he got really good at hitting balls out of sand.
Yeah, and that's
I love stories like that.
Awesome. I mean, it's, yeah, that is great. I mean, so yeah, it's fair to bring up Tiger and say that he's got 15. I mean, I don't think he's gonna get to 18. I think he might get another one. I would probably bet against it at this point, but I think he could. I think what's interesting is if you look at the modern players. So if you talk about like the best in the game right now. You're talking about, if you talk about active players, you got obviously like Tiger, 15. Okay. It jumps from 15 to 5 with Phil. And let's be honest, I don't think Phil's getting another one. Maybe he does. I'd love if to he get does added. If
86,
if
he did, it'll but. Be like a cherry on top.
He's already fought. He's already 5 years older than Jack was.
He's not getting two more. He might get one more. He's not getting two more.
Doubt it, but maybe. Yeah. Then you got like. So here's where it gets interesting. I mean, you've got Rory's got 4. Rory, I think he's like 27. Might be my guess. Jordan Spieth's got 3.
Wow.
Brooks has 4. So Rory and Brooks both have 4, and Spieth has 3. That's what you need to know about. That's what you need to know about current.
Well, exactly. That's nothing. I would have said Rory was already like 30, but he just seems like he is.
He was a phenom. That long. He came along pretty early.
But, none of them are getting there. So, I would like to revise my 4 with the same people, except for I would like to put Babe Ruth at number 4 because you have to. And Jordan, you could, I don't know, but not really. I'm going to stick with Gretzky, Will Chamberlain, Jack Nicklaus, and then Babe Ruth as my 4th, okay. My official 4th.
So I have to throw another honorable mention in there, and that's Ted Williams. I think that Ted Williams.
I don't think anybody thinks Ted Williams is the best baseball player of all time.
I think I do. I think that Ted Williams is the best baseball player of all time.
I think he's kind of like Jordan with basketball. He was probably the best for a time at a certain thing, and. Yes, he definitely deserves an honorable mention, but yeah. No, he's like Jordan.
In what way? Like, say more about that.
Like, Michael Jordan isn't the greatest basketball player of all time.
Let me tell you something.
But he's amazing.
Tell you some things about Ted Williams. He has like 20 All-Stars. He was an All-Star like 20 times.
He went to World War II.
And he went to the Korean War. He fought in the Korean War as a pilot.
He
wasn't done flying planes. He had
two triple crowns.
He won 2 fucking triple crowns.
Yeah.
He was the home run leader 4 times. People don't know him for home runs, but he was the home run leader 4 times. He was the RBI leader 4 times. Take a shot at his career on base percentage. Take a guess. What's his career on base? There's runners on base. What's his average?
What do you mean there's runners on base? You're talking about his on base percentage? On base percentage is hits plus walks divided
by. So what do you think it is?
I would say it's 425. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. What's Babe Ruth?
And I know that.
Look his up.
I know this. I know that all of those stats come with, and he's got over 500. I think he's got 521 home runs. All those stats come with the fact that he left in his prime and went and fought a flew a plane for the United States against the Axis of Evil. I mean, Babe Ruth didn't do that. He just smoked cigars and. Babe Ruth, career all on base percentage 474, second all time to Ted Williams.
Wow. Yeah. Ted Williams ever hit 50 home runs when the second best guy hit 9?
Ted Williams didn't play. Ted Williams.
While also batting 380.
Ted Williams. Batted like 400. Ruth, 250 batted 400. But 406 and right. Went like 4 of 6. He could have sat out to stayed at 400 and he played the last day. He also
why don't you do this? On. Why don't one, you look up one last the top
thing.
Batting
one last thing.
Of all time?
One last thing. He played against all of his contemporaries. Babe Ruth didn't. Babe Ruth had to play against just white guys. So that just that waters down Babe Ruth's shit big time.
What year did Jackie Robinson?
I don't know. What do you think? I'm fucking like Google.
Well, what year did Jackie Robinson enter the league? Because you're full of shit in that last statement you made that Ted Williams played against all the contemporaries. What year did Jackie Robinson? He was the first black player in Major League Baseball. What year did he enter the league? Was it before or after Ted Williams retired? It was after. Guarantee you that. So that last statement 47? Is completely wrong.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. 47.
And when was Ted Williams' last year in the league?
Hold on. I'm working on it. Man, you're putting... it's a lot of...
I'm... Hey.
He played to 60. He played, Ted Williams played from 39 to 60. So
played
I'm
to 1960.
Correct. So I
you're kidding me. No, you're yes, not I correct. Am. Oh my God. How did Ted Williams do after 1948 or 47?
What does it matter?
With one black guy.
So you're making my point. You're saying that like Ted Williams' effectiveness dropped off as he got older because he had to deal with better players. So why would Babe Ruth hold a candle then? Like what? Explain that. You've farted on your own thesis.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you totally have.
I'm fine with your thesis. But what I'm saying is Babe Ruth hit. There was a year where Babe Ruth hit like 50 home runs, and the second place home run hitter hit 9.
Here's the career batting average leaders. Number one, Ty Cobb, 366. Number two, Rogers Hornsby, 358. Number three, Shoeless Joe Jackson, 355. Number four, Lefty O'Doul, 349.
I know everybody you've spoken to.
Number five.
So far, and I wasn't alive when they were playing. But
number
I know
five, Ed Delonte.
Don't know him.
Six, Chris Speaker. Seven, Ted Williams, 344.
Know him.
10, Babe Ruth, 342. So Babe Ruth's batting average was worse, and he didn't have to face black pitchers. So you lose on that one too. You want home runs? Like, do you want all-time home runs? Because I think
Babe Ruth has 714.
He has like 541.
Williams has slightly over 541.
And he left in his prime and flew a plane against the Germans. So,
yeah, take home runs per at bats. Try that out. Try that on for size. It'll blow your mind. Babe Ruth's like 10.9 home runs. One home run every 10.9 at bats. It's insane.
All right.
Nobody's ever touched it except for
number
guys
one, Mark McGwire. Number two, Babe Ruth. Number three, Barry Bonds. Number four, Jim Thome. Number five, Giancarlo Stanton.
Are you talking home runs per at bats?
Ted Williams is ninth at 14.47. But
he's a better power hitter than
great,
I thought he was.
He's a great power hitter. But he didn't he wasn't even into power hitting. That wasn't his bag.
No, neither was Babe. He was into pitching.
Well, he was until he wasn't. Bottom line is Ted Williams
wasn't also the best pitcher in the league. So, bottom line, Babe Ruth goes there.
Using my shit against me now.
Hey,
Ted Williams is the best baseball player. He's the best hitter for sure. He's definitely the best hitter ever. There's no doubt about that. He's the best hitter ever.
Is he better than Ty Cobb?
Well,
I don't think you could put him against a guy that was very close to him in batting average, also hit 5-1 home runs against the number two guy in the league, also won a gazillion championships. I don't think you can put Ted Williams over Babe Ruth as the best baseball player of all time. But you definitely have an argument for number two.
Yeah, look, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not critical to my situation to try to advocate for it, but I'm just saying, in my book, in my little Southpaw book,
I know you favorite him because
it's not just
lefty,
it though. That's I have facts to back it up.
He could even fly a plane. I mean, how many lefties fly planes? Probably none. Whatever. You know. So he was
Teddy,
special.
Teddy threw right, though. He batted left, but he threw right. So it's just there's a mystique there. So it's not even that he's left-handed. It's just that he batted left because he knew that was better.
What position did he play?
Ted Williams?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. He was an outfielder. Yeah, he was
left
a left
field,
fielder.
Right? Yeah, so of course he threw right. You have to throw right when you're a left fielder. You put your worst defensive outfielder, actually you put your worst defensive player on the team in left field. That's what you do. If you know anything about baseball. And if they can learn how to throw right-handed from there, they can be a little bit less than as bad as they used to be.
Well, here's what I know about him. He was epically known for his hand-eye coordination, obviously, because he's the greatest hitter ever.
Right, but defensively, he was put that's the spot that you put your worst defensive player. Traditionally, like for 150 years, we put the worst defensive player in left field. That's why Barry Bonds played left field for most of his career. Because he was terrible.
So he was renowned as a pilot. He broke all kinds of records in advanced flight training. And he actually ended up being an instructor. Like, comparing him to Barry Bonds is a joke.
So you're saying that Barry Bonds couldn't fly a plane?
I'm 100% saying that Barry Bonds couldn't fly a plane, yes.
Interesting. That's interesting. Well, your white privilege is showing.
It's not because it doesn't have anything to do with Barry Bonds. No. I don't think Mark McGwire could fly a plane to save his life either.
I don't think Mark McGwire could fly a tank. You know,
I'm just saying that not only could this man fly a plane, he was the elite of the elite of aviators. He came in and broke all the records, but nobody, like, compare that to something. Like, give me another.
That's not surprising, Dan. That's not surprising. He had the best eyes of anybody of his age.
Well, then give me an example of somebody
else.
In a time when you weren't,
Wayne Gretzky, first and foremost, Wayne Gretzky has the best hand-eye coordination of any athlete we've ever seen in the world, ever.
But he didn't enlist.
If you put Wayne Gretzky into it, well, he also is from Canada, and there wasn't a war, so we can't blame him for that.
That's true, but still, I'm taking...
What was he supposed to do? Drop parachutes on Panama? I mean, come on, give Wayne a break.
He just took up flying for the fun of it. No, I get it, but you're leaning on... That's a convenient way out for you.
It's not that it's
could
it's
Babe
not
Ruth
surprising
have?
That Ted Williams
Babe Ruth
was
could
a,
have played a world a, or could have fought in World War One. He didn't.
You're telling me that Babe Ruth didn't go to World War One?
I didn't hear shit about it. If he did, highly
Babe
doubt
Ruth,
it.
Babe Ruth, World War One ended in
1919 or 20.
So was Babe Ruth even of age at that point?
No, I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, the 27 Yankees. That's the big one when Babe
Murderers
Garrett
Row
and all those guys
Murderers
there.
Row.
Yeah, and I think Babe was fairly young. At that
then
time.
He
should have know that he would have
more
been,
reason why he
eligible
been
for the
there.
Draft.
He played from 1914 through 1935, so he actually played through World War One.
He played from 1914
to 1935. And by the way, he right. was left-handed, so fuck you, by the way.
I will agree with you
We're
on one.
We're talking about
thing.
Two
Babe
lefties.
Babe Ruth had died
talking
in World
about
War
two
I.
Lefties.
Listen, I will agree with you on one thing here 100%. If Babe Ruth had died in World War One, Ted Williams would have had the chance to be the best baseball player of all time.
Yeah, but Babe Ruth didn't have to worry about it because he didn't go.
He just became the best baseball player.
Both lefties, by the way. Did I mention that? Both lefties.
Of course, babe. Yeah. Of course, all the best
Not
baseball,
just baseball
players,
players
are always going to be lefties.
Da Vinci was left-handed.
And what's he
He's
his
the best,
best what?
Human.
Better than Thomas
yes.
Jefferson? Oh, my
For
God.
For sure.
Oh, my God.
Mozart. Mozart
Step into my office because you're fucking
left
No, he wasn't. No, he was not.
You haven't come to grips with it.
You're making that up. Mozart was definitely right handed.
No. Incorrect.
You're making that up.
I'm not.
No, I know some bullshit when I hear it.
Look it up.
Mozart could not have been the virtuoso at all the instruments if he was left-handed. It would have been... Because in those days, you couldn't turn a violin upside down like Jimi Hendrix and just... You couldn't do that. I swear you're wrong on that. He probably was left-handed. But...
Just...
He probably played
don't be
right
mad.
Hand. Okay. All right, listen.
It's okay. It's okay that you... Just went with the flow like everybody else. Like the.
Let's agree that if Babe Ruth had died in World War One, then Ted Williams would be the best baseball player
Maybe.
Of all time. And if Wilt would have went to Vietnam, then Jordan would have been the best basketball player of all time.
You do have an interesting old school
Didn't
mindset.
Go that way. Well, when you average 50 points a game for a year.
So here's what I found about Mozart. Being left-handed is usually an advantage for pianists. Mozart was known to be ambidextrous, which would be even better for pianists, but he may well have been born with a preference for his left hand and forced to learn his right hand.
Right. I would say most switch hitters are born left-handed and grew up in families where their parents tell them, Don't be a weirdo.
Let me throw a couple more out at you. David Bowie, Babe Ruth, Nikola Tesla.
Well, David Bowie couldn't play anything.
Well, he's still David Bowie.
Except saxophone. No, he could play.
He was good.
Fun.
He was good. Good. You know it's. You know it's. You're on the. You're on the wrong side of this.
You're on the wrong side of history here.
Michelangelo is left-handed.
Oh yeah, who's that?
Look it up.
Jeff Angelo.
Pete Angelo, his nephew.
Oh, yeah. Well, that
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, it's Paul McCartney's left-handed.
Ringo
we all know
Starr.
That.
Alan yes. Keller. Sandy Koufax. Sandy. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
You heard me.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
You heard me.
So even without the gift of sight,
and she was left-handed.
Or hearing,
and she was left-handed.
Even on top of all that, she was
left-handed.
She was bewitched.
Bill Gates, left-handed. Sorry, pal. I mean, listen, it's okay to be normal.
Okay, let me compile a list of everybody that's right-handed.
Yeah,
ready?
It's gonna be boring.
Every awesome person that you didn't just say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I have a pretty solid list. You know I do. I know.
Yeah,
it's,
you have like eight
people, stings.
And I have everybody
I know it
else. You have eight people, and I have everybody else.
I know it stings. Right? It's okay.
No, I have everybody else. Everybody you didn't say. That was great. Like Jack Nicklaus and Will Chamberlain.
Boring. Boring.
Marie Curie.
Boring.
And Thomas Jefferson.
What's your thing with Thomas Jefferson? What's the big deal there? What's the big deal with Thomas Jefferson?
Well, for starters, wrote the Declaration of Independence.
Okay. Anything else, or that's it?
No, it's just an appetizer.
Own slaves.
He's an appetizer. Excuse me, screw slaves. I got cigarettes somewhere. I can't find them.
I have a Zoom meeting starting at 7 for Lacrosse Booster, so can you stay out here and I'll be in there?
Okay. I'm in the middle of a podcast right now, so
sorry.
You stay out there and I'll stay in here.
Keep that. No, actually, I think that we should bring the Lacrosse Boosters into the podcast, to be honest. I'd like to know their takes on Ted Williams and Babe Ruth, and let's settle it once and for all.
I went out and bought cigarettes earlier, and I cannot find
them.
I've been trying not to interrupt the podcast. Just
that
searching
happens.
The reasonable area. And I cannot find them.
Well, you know what? I think that that's...
I'm
that's
furious.
That's a beautiful thing because here I'm looking at the clock and we're right near an hour and an hour is beautiful. So why don't we put a bow on this thing? I think we talked about some really diverse and interesting topics. I think that I was right about most of them. And, you know... Bada bing, bada boom...
I agree 100%. I think that you think that you were right about a lot of them.
And you were right about all of them, right?
No, I got that one wrong. It was. It was minor.
You're like Tony Kornheiser at the end of that segment of PTI when he always declares he wins.
No.
Why don't you...
I don't care if I win. I just care if I learn.
That's a great point. And I agree. I agree.
I just want to learn something.
Although I will admit that I do have a competitive flair, but I don't let it inhibit my learning for the most part. So, knowledge is power.
Why don't you lay down, go to sleep, and think about how to become the Wayne Gretzky of podcasting.
Ooh.
You know.
Okay.
Why don't you think about that? Why don't you put that on?
Okay.
Try that on for a second.
Why don't you lay down and think about trying to become the Ted Williams of hitting.
I can't become the Ted Williams of hitting. Now, I got a solid chance of becoming the Ted Williams of fucking.
I don't think so. No.
Oh, dude. What was it? What was his percentage?
Which one?
365? What was it? 345?
He batted over 400 a couple times, but...
Yeah, I'm not talking about his best year. Jesus Christ.
Well, that's a whole nother topic when you're getting into...
No, I'm just saying, I might be able to talk my wife into fucking me 34% of the time. Now, I'm not saying I'm gonna, but
that'll keep you in the league, but it's not gonna gonna get you into any greatest of all time conversations.
I mean, I'm around the Mendoza line right now, you know.
Well,
trying to up my average, right?
Hey, if you're trying to up your average this late in your career, you're probably gonna end up serving hot dogs soon.
Hey. I got old, my dick.
Hey,
shrunk.
Hay's for horses. Oh, hey. I have something interesting to throw in here.
And so long and good night. And the what?
Patrice O'Neal.
Oh, my favorite. He's my favorite.
Was had like a couple of episodes in The Office, and he sucked, or at least what they put on the air of him sucked.
Well, they didn't feature him. He was just kind of like the guy.
Yeah,
in the
but even the background
the
stuff.
Basketball so. Episode, yeah.
Even the background.
Patrice O'Neal is to me, he is one of the funniest. He's not the best.
But
comic
that's
of
the
all
point
time,
that I'm making. How does the funniest guy? Dude. How does the funniest guy on set not get any, like it's pretty it's rough. Like I actually he has one of the most cringeworthy lines. That every time I hear it, which is frequently because I watch The Office constantly, but when Michael's doing the safety training with The Office and he's talking about getting up from your chair every few minutes, and Patrice O'Neal's like, that's called fat butt disease, Michael. I just cringe. I'm like, that's just a terrible joke. It's not
funny.
Well,
he funny. Was just an actor there. It's he wasn't a terrible. Comedian there. He didn't write it.
It's just bad. It's one of those things where it's like, you had all that talent there and you just wasted it. It's all on the cutting room floor.
But there again, sad. Even if they said, Patrice, would you write an episode of The Office? He couldn't have done it. He couldn't do that.
Well, nobody's asking him to write the whole episode, but write your own jokes. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but they weren't... He wasn't there as a comedian. He was there as an actor.
It was bad. And it was rough.
Yeah, that's death for comedians. Like, for real comedians. Like, Steve Carell isn't a comedian. He's an actor.
Yes.
And he's a very good comedic actor. And he has thrived with Judd Apatow and thrived on The Office. And that's not Patrice.
I agree with you. I'm just putting it out there that it was...
I love the fact that you love Patrice, because Patrice is really, really, really one of the funniest stand-up comics I have ever seen. And when you listen to him on the opening of the Andy shit, he's so good there too. He crushes everybody.
Yeah.
Like, he's the funniest guy in the room every time.
He was about truth over even over comedy and humor. Like
he was truth over success, yeah. Because you can't hire him in every town. You just can't.
No.
You can hire Jerry Seinfeld in every town. That'd be fun.
What's with the croutons that you guys make?
I never
here?
Curse. I never say bad words.
Yeah, what is with these croutons?
Fuck.
Oh, he was ruthless. For sure. All right. So that's great. That's a good place to put a bow on it. Our listeners, you know, all three of them, they don't like it when it gets too long.